From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Meghna Chakrabarty, and this is On Point. Sunday afternoon, New Orleans Saints fans on the edge of their seats. Tie game, less than 2 minutes to play, a trip to the Super Bowl on the line. And one of the best quarterbacks of his generation, 40-year-old Drew Brees, has the ball.
Quick snap. Brees. Pass is incomplete. No flag. Crowd's going crazy as there's no flag right on the Saints sideline.
No flag, even though it was obvious that LA Rams cornerback Nickell Roby-Coleman delivered a bone-rattling hit to Chiefs receiver Tommy Lee Lewis well before the ball arrived. Now, even for an objective observer, the officials missing that pass interference call was pretty egregious. One of the biggest officiating bungles in NFL history. And the Saints fervent fans? Furious! Who Dat Nation fired up on sports radio that night.
You couldn't make the right call? Listen! It was so obvious, it's ridiculous.
And that was just the NFC. We haven't even mentioned the AFC Championship game and the NFL's complex, wonky overtime rules that helped send the New England Patriots to their ninth Super Bowl since 2002. This hour on Point, the NFL under fire yet again on the road to Super Bowl 53. And you can join us. New Orleans, Los Angeles, New England, Kansas City, what do you think about that officiating, about league overtime rules? What, if anything, needs to change? And what are you looking forward to in Super Bowl 53? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or Twitter and Facebook at OnPoint Radio. Well, first of all, let's just listen to a little bit more of the reaction during in the post-game press conference on Sunday. Reaction from New Orleans Saints head coach Sean Payton, who said that the NFL head of officials told him after the game that referees blew the call, that call that they did not make by not calling pass interference on the Los Angeles Rams.
It's a hard job for those guys because it's happening fast, but I don't know if there was ever a more obvious pass interference call that, you know, here it is, the NFC Championship game. So, tough one to swallow. We probably never get over it.
You know, and maybe New Orleans won't get over it either, because hours after the NFC Championship game, Christian Garrick hosted WWL Saints program show The Point After. He's a radio host there, from Felix's Restaurant and Oyster Bar on the New Orleans waterfront. And Garrick's co-host, former Saints quarterback Bobby Hebert, was livid.
That call was so bad, the NFL's lucky there wasn't a damn riot in the dome. They lucky there was not a riot. Because I'm saying you cannot be that wrong. You cannot be that wrong on that call.
All right, well, let's turn to Jason Gay now for some reaction. He joins us from New York. He's a sports columnist for the Wall Street Journal. And we have a link to his piece headlined, A Super Bowl to Drive America Crazy. It's at our website, onpointradio.org. Jason Gay, it's good to talk to you.
Thank you very much for having me.
All right, so let's first of all start off with the reaction in New Orleans to that blown call or no call. What do you read of what happened at the game?
I'm assuming at this point every resident of New Orleans and the great state of Louisiana has taken their television and their radio and taken it out to the curb. They don't want to hear anything more about this game at this point. This was just a civic disaster. I mean, Bobby Hebert put it mildly. We've had city officials, we've had state officials, we've had Congress people calling for investigations into what happened in the Superdome on Sunday. Calls for the game to be replayed. Get the Rams and the Saints back in the Superdome. Play the down over again. This is just bad, bad, bad for New Orleans. It's bad for the NFL. However, there's part of me that thinks that the NFL loves stuff like this.
Yeah.
We're talking about the game 3 days later. We're obsessed with football. People will discuss this for generations. It's on the tips of everybody's tongue. It's the best viral marketing possible. So as negative as it is, as disappointed as everyone in New Orleans rightfully is, not bad for the product.
Well, you know, I mean, about the depths of disappointment in New Orleans, I really feel for them. I mean, for example, a little bit of tape here. We have a viral Facebook video that was posted on Sunday. You talked about throwing TVs to the curb. Well, that literally happened at least once, because New Orleans Saints fan Jimmy Giovingo, he's seen in this video carrying his huge flat-screen TV out his back door and actually hurling it into a fire pit as his friend watches.
And refs, man.
Now that's the sound of the TV hitting the fire pit, Jason Kay.
The unmistakable sound of a TV hitting a fire pit. Who among us has not ripped a plasma screen off a wall and thrown it into a bonfire?
But look, boy. We're getting comments in already. And again, like, my heart goes out to New Orleans because Hope Van Deest sent us a message on Facebook saying, it's not just a game here in New Orleans. The Saints are more than just a football team. They're like emotional support. When everything fell apart, the Saints brought back hope to the city. Although Hope says, I will admit that the denial phase of our collective grief has become extreme. So, you know, again, New Orleans, I feel your pain. But tell
us. Unmistakably true.
But Jason, tell us, though, I mean, for everyone who saw that play, who watched it, I mean, it was so obvious that there was big time pass interference. Remind us about why, I mean, first of all, why there was no call and why nothing could be done to fix the egregious no call in the moment.
The NFL is a funny little sport. For as big and as influential and as, you know, the audiences are spectacular, as big as it is this multi-billion dollar enterprise that you still have coaches reaching into their socks to pull out little red flags. You still have guys yanking these chains on the sidelines to try to figure out if it's a first down or not. And you still rely on the eyeballs of middle-aged men to make decisions about what happened on the field, oftentimes at incredibly high speed. This was a no-brainer call. This was not one that was terribly hard to render. However, what they didn't have the luxury of doing was going back to instant replay. The NFL for a long time has had instant replay to review consequential moments in games, fumbles, receptions, things like that. We could go down the list forever of great or disputed replay moments in NFL history. But you can't review a play like this. And that, I think, is going to be ultimately the consequence of this game, that the NFL and its ownership is going to look at the replay rules, and you are going to see a call like that not happen in the future because you're going to be able to review it and reverse it.
Well, you know, look, I'll fully admit that I am definitely not a football expert at all, which is why we have folks like you on the show here. So explain to me, what is it about pass interference that the NFL hasn't allowed for review thus far? I mean, I don't get it. It seems to be the kind of call that, yes, it may be subjective, but it's no more subjective than other calls that officials might have to make on the field. So why not use the video to help clarify confusing moments?
I would say the reason is this. It's a dirty little secret, and maybe not even a secret, that pass interference kind of occurs on every single play in an NFL game. Receivers and cornerbacks, defensive backs, are always jostling. They're jostling at the line. They jostle a little bit on field. There's battle for position. There's interference going on both sides, usually on every single play. And the moment you introduce the possibility that a coach could reverse a play because you're looking for degrees of interference, that's the rabbit hole the NFL, I'm sure, is fearful here. Usually, pass interferences aren't as crazy and brazen as the one that happened in New Orleans last weekend. But if you introduce the possibility, again, that you can review this play, you can review for interference, it'd be awfully hard to not find interference if you really went out looking for it.
Okay. Well, let's listen to a little bit more of the continuing reaction that followed from Sunday. On Monday's episode of ESPN's Pardon the Interruption, host Michael Wilbon criticized the NFL for officiating both in the AFC and NFC championships.
It doesn't take the Rams. It taints the outcome of the game. The officiating was so incompetent that it bothers me. To me, it was the low point of the NFL. I don't mean in terms of policy or social issues. I mean just in terms of the competition on the field. Both results are tainted.
All right. Well, let's turn now. Let's get some reaction from Mike Jones. He is joining us from Mobile, Alabama today. He's NFL columnist for USA Today Sports. He's written a recent piece headlined, "The NFL Must Make Changes to Address Its Latest Officiating Mess." We've got a link to it at onpointradio.org. Mike Jones, it's good to have you.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Now, I know you were in Kansas City covering the AFC game on Sunday between the Pats and the Chiefs here, but let's stick with the NFC game here. You heard Michael Wilbon said the game is tainted overall. Officiating is tainted overall. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, this is it's not a good look at all for the NFL. We should be talking about the matchups, the impressive accomplishments of the Rams and of the Patriots getting back to the Super Bowl. But instead, you have fans who commentators who say that, you know, the league is – it's crooked. The officiating is a sham, you know, that it's tainted and everything. Yes, we're still talking about the NFL, but credibility is important. And the NFL has worked hard to improve its image, and they want the product to be something that is appreciated and enjoyed. And so they took a big step back when they had this missed call here. And so, yeah, they do have to figure out a way to make a change. I know the competition committee has long been very opposed to expanding to add pass interference, but there are some things that they can do that they'll probably discuss this spring when they have their meeting, the possibility of some type of expansion so that way maybe something like this won't happen again.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm never going to be one to run to the defense of Roger Goodell. But on the other hand, as Jason Gay was saying earlier, I mean, Jason was saying that, like, he says there's a dirty little secret that with most passes, there is some kind of interference. So, you know, this one just is a kind of an extreme outlier. So does it really warrant a rules change?
Well, I think what they can do, and he's exactly right, there's holding on every call. There's some type of penalty going on, and there's a human element, so they're not going to get it just right. But late in games, when there's a turnover or, you know, in every touchdown, there's someone in a booth that's reviewing the play, and in a split second, if they see something that doesn't look quite right, they radio down to the referee, to the official, and say, hey, stop the game. They need to review it. Even if they added something like that and, you know, that could be reviewed, that would help, I think, because that one was so egregious. And I know when I rewatched it in real time, and it is bang, bang, really fast.
Yeah.
But still, everybody standing there except for the two officials noticed it. So I think if there was a person in a booth who saw that, could alert them, they could go back and look at that. Bill Belichick.
Hang on here, Mike, because I've got 10 seconds before I got to wrap up this segment. So Mike Jones and Jason Gay, hold on. We'll be right back. We're talking about the NFC and AFC championship games. This is On Point.
Support for the On Point podcast comes from Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform that lets you find candidates fast. Ditch the busy work and use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/OnPoint. That's Indeed.com/OnPoint. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This is On Point. I'm Meghna Chakraborty. Yes, it is Thursday, but we are still talking about the NFC Championship games and the AFC Championship games on Sunday because of some very, people say, egregious officiating and some wonky rules that help determine who is going to Super Bowl 53. And look, the comments are coming in. Like Mark788 says, how can any of the officials of the Rams-Saints game expect to continue as a ref in the NFL? Why would any other team stand to have them as a ref for their games? On the other hand, DJ79 says, to all Saints and Chiefs owners, players, coaches, and fans, it's just a game. The rules are set and clear. Jason Gay joins us today. He's a sports columnist for The Wall Street Journal. Mike Jones is also with us. He's NFL columnist for USA Today Sports. And Mike, I had to cut you off before the break there, but you were telling us about your thoughts about whether or not the Rams-Saints call was just an egregious one that maybe may or may not warrant an actual rules change.
Right, exactly. And like I was saying, the proposal that's been discussed by some coaches who have said, hey, maybe y'all should consider having, you know, this a booth review. That's something that Bill Belichick has discussed, the Patriots head coach, and several other coaches for years now, but they've been hesitant. So maybe this is something this spring that they finally talk about implementing in just for situations like this.
Okay, let's go to the callers. Ron is calling from Saranac Lake, New York. Ron, you're on the air.
How you doing?
I'm doing well. What's your thought?
My thought is the same as it was when I saw the game, that the fix is in. It's like it's just made no sense to me whatsoever unless you believe in some kind of underlying conspiracy that they would prefer to have a large team from Southern California than a small team from Louisiana, you know, that also would have had almost a home field advantage being right down the road from Atlanta. I hate to think that way, but the truth is that's the way I think.
Ron, thank you for your call. Jason Gay, do you smell the whiff of conspiracy here?
You know, as much as I'd love a real conspiracy here, I don't see it. I just don't see in the, you know, as Mike said, a bang bang play, the referees, you know, quickly conspiring to get the Rams into the Super Bowl over the Saints. And secondly, I don't think that it holds up as a business proposition. I think the Saints were a more desirable choice for the television network and for the NFL itself. You had a marquee quarterback in Drew Brees. You had more stars on that team. And the Saints are a much more mature market than what Los Angeles is now, which is sort of this young, somewhat, I don't want to say ambivalent because it upsets the Rams fans, but this is still a work in progress, what's happening with the Rams and their return to Los Angeles.
Right. And so what about Brees himself, right? I mean, was this sort of his big chance for a Super Bowl and potentially a Super Bowl title? I mean, I don't want to say that he's over the hill here, but he is 40.
Well, the guy who is going to the Super
Bowl
is
41.
Is 41, yeah. But he makes kind of a habit of it, so he's maybe an anomaly. You know, Brees is, you know, defying age in the same way that Tom Brady is. The other part of this, Magna, is that there's been some hard luck for Drew Brees and the Saints in the last couple of years. Don't forget, a year ago, the Minnesota Vikings pulled out one of the most spectacular last-second plays in the history of football to take themselves to the playoffs and have their shot at the Super Bowl, sending the Saints home. Talk about getting your soul crushed back-to-back like this. I feel all the pain that's in New Orleans. It's just so disappointing. Okay. I have a friend. Can I tell you something real quick?
Yeah, of course.
A friend in New Orleans who runs a bar called The Kingpin. And on Super Bowl Sunday, they're going to have a Super Bowl party. They're still going through with it. But instead of showing Rams Patriots, they're going to fire up the DVD and show the Saints Super Bowl championship over Indianapolis from several years ago. So they're still going to have a Super Bowl. They're just going to watch a replay.
All right. Well, let's hear from another fan in New Orleans. Pat is calling from New Orleans. Pat, you're on the air. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing okay for being, you know, depressed.
So what's really bothering you about what happened on Sunday?
Well, there's two things that bother me. One is there is a possibility that that game was thrown by the referees. And who's going to investigate that? Are these people going to be fired? If I did that, my job that egregiously, I would be fired. You know, and how high up? If someone said, do everything you can to throw the game the other way, how high up does Ooh. It go? Mm-hmm. And then the other opinion I have is that the NFL is a multi-billion dollar monopoly. It's completely unregulated except by itself. Goodell has the power of God. He's mm-hmm. Goddell. And I really think that it should be broken up and back into two independent leagues so you can at least think there's some honesty in it.
Okay, Pat, here, hang on for a second, because to your first point about was the game maybe thrown, I haven't read any evidence of that so far, but we've got a comment coming in from Daphne Red. She says, yes, that one call was bad, but the Saints also had 57 other minutes plus the first shot in overtime. Pat, what do you think about that?
Well, I'm not 100% convinced that there wasn't pass interference on that interception, and no one's talking about it because the other one was so obvious.
Okay.
I have never in my history, my grandfather wrote a football column, my father wrote a football column. I've grown up since I was a kid working on these columns. I have never seen that obvious of a penalty not called.
Well, Pat, thank you so much for your call. Mike Jones, let me turn back to you. What do you have to say to Pat?
Well, I understand the frustration of the Saints fans, but there were missed calls on the Rams side as well. There was the play where Jared Goff, the Rams quarterback, was rushing towards the end zone, and they didn't get the face mask call. If they had gotten that face mask call, because he definitely had his face mask grabbed, the ball would have been placed at the one. It would have been a first down. Instead, they had to go for a field goal instead of a touchdown. There were many times that both teams had calls that looked like they should have gone their way and did not. And then also, the Saints got the ball back. They had more chances. There were times that the strategy of Sean Payton kind of raised some eyebrows and things. They had opportunities. Yeah. The game definitely wasn't thrown. Each team had an opportunity to win that game. And I know that one call looms pretty large, but there still were other opportunities. The Saints were up 10-0. Then they were up 20-10. And they blew those leads there. Yeah. So they didn't capitalize throughout the game like they could have.
Well, so what about Pat's other point about her? She sees the NFL as just too powerful, right? This multi-billion dollar monopoly. And she sort of harkens back to the time where, you had multiple leagues. Is that, are we just really far past that, or is she onto something there?
I don't think. I mean, yes, the NFL is very powerful. It's a huge industry. Goodell works for these owners. They are the one he follows their bidding. And there hasn't been a league that's been able to start and sustain and compete with the NFL. But the thing is we're still talking about this. And, the majority of Americans will tune into the game on Sunday despite the frustrations here. So, TV ratings are up, points and the entertainment factor of the game was up this year. This was a healthy year for the NFL, even though they've got this cloud hanging over right here this week. But things are in good shape for this league.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about the AFC championship game here in just a second. But Jason Gay, pick up on that thought from Mike Jones, because you also mentioned that earlier in the program that, if there's going to be any controversy, this is exactly the kind that the NFL wants, because we're still talking about the game. It's not political thus far, right? And so like, anything can be turned political these days, right? So, but Roger Goodell, he must be, as happy as a clam.
He is as happy as a clam, but as many fans have mentioned, the absence of an official statement here from the league in the form of Goodell is a little odd, but it is kind of part of what's happened over this 2018-19 season, the sort of disappearing Roger Goodell. It's been very unusual, and I think it's largely dictated by the craziness of last year, where the NFL got itself into a tangle with the President of the United States that it didn't imagine itself getting into. And so you have kind of this shyness. The NFL used to have this kind of swagger about itself. We're the NFL and we know what's right. And just kind of hiding behind the scenes here is a bit unusual and leads to these delicious conspiracy theories,
right,
which I want to hear every one.
Okay, well,
was there a conspiracy about the 57-yard field goal that the Rams kicked to win in overtime? Was there a wind machine? I want to know about that, too.
Let's go to David, who's calling from Amherst, Massachusetts. David, you're on the air.
Well, I don't have conspiracy theory, but I do have some facts. I want to remind people that football is a game of both ball control and field position. That's why teams punt. Now, the Patriots, they won the toss, and they chose to take the ball in exchange for giving up field position. Mm-hmm. So they started with the ball at their own 25-yard line. So to win in overtime, the Patriots had to travel 75 yards and get a touchdown.
Yeah.
Remember, a field goal doesn't win it in overtime for the first team to have possession.
Yeah.
Now, for the Chiefs to win, all they had to do, well, I shouldn't say all they had to do, but they needed to force a punt, get a mediocre punt return, and then one 10- or 15-yard pass to get into field goal range, and now because they are the second team to have possession, they can win it with a field goal. So the Chiefs had a great chance to win in overtime, and I think any controversy about, it's really hard to come up with a perfect overtime policy.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the NFL has come up with a good one.
All right. Well, David, Dave, I'm going to take it back from you. And thank you so much for your call. Mike Jones, you were at the Patriots-Chiefs game. And I hear what David's saying. Basically, it comes down to saying that the Chiefs could have defended their way out of this loss.
Yeah, no, he's exactly right. And I know I hear people that are saying both teams should have a chance to have the ball. But David's right. In the league, you know, the rule is pretty clear. You know, the defensive guys get paid as well. There were so many plays where the Patriots were in third and long situations and they got, you know, huge pass plays for easy first downs, or they had run plays that gashed the Chiefs' defense. They let their squad down in the key moment of the game during that overtime. Again, you've got to get the stop, and if you do that, then you get the ball back. And, you know, if the Chiefs had have won the coin toss, I think whoever won the coin toss was going to win that thing the way those offenses were rolling. But if the Chiefs had have won, they wouldn't have been complaining, and the Patriots would have been complaining. Their fans would have been. So there's, you know, there's always going to be somebody who's unhappy, but that's the way the rules of the game are set up, and I think that they make sense.
Yeah, well, so let's listen to what happened before overtime began. With a minute left in the AFC Championship game, New England was down by four. Kansas City, you know, they looked like they were marching to victory. And here's CBS's Jim Nantz and Tony Romo with the call as Patriots quarterback Tom Brady throws a pass that's intercepted by Charvarius Ward. And in between you hear referee Cleet Blakeman.
Hands in the pocket. Flags out. Ball's picked. Ball's intercepted. It comes out of the hands of Ward for a moment.
Offside. Defense, number 55, lined up in the neutral zone. The five-yard penalty will replay third down.
Can you believe it? He's right there. And he is. He's over the blue by quite a bit, actually.
All right, so that was with a minute left in regular time. Jason Yeh, your thoughts about the game?
Well, do you think it's possible that the NFL conspired with the linemen to line up in the neutral zone because they preferred the larger Boston area media market to Kansas City? It's possible. I don't want to rule it out. I mean, look, we talked a moment ago about going down the rabbit hole. We're going down the rabbit hole again here with overtime. You know, overtime is a fraught exercise in many sports. It leads to deeply unsatisfying conclusions in professional soccer of all kinds. It's something that people argue about in tennis forever. Football has tried to get a handle on it. It's a little different than the way they do it in college, which they do this sort of like everyone gets the ball and it's kind of like a blueberry pie eating contest at the state fair. It's just this manic thing that goes back and forth, back and forth. I'm with Mike on this. You know, the defense is out there too. They get a stop. You know, that's Kansas City's ball. There were third and tens repeatedly in that sequence that the Chiefs were not able to make it happen. So I don't look at that anywhere near the kind of injustice that, again, the folks in New Orleans are feeling about their game.
But so I take your point about no one's come up with a great way to bring overtime to a close, right? But in this case, when you don't even get to complete the entire period, like you said, like professional soccer world, you know, FIFA went through this a lot with a lot of back and forth. It just doesn't feel right, though. I mean, it doesn't feel right to even not even get possession once in an OT.
Yeah. And let's not ignore the subtext here, which is that people really want to see Pat Mahomes stick it to Tom Brady and the Patriots.
You don't,
I think that
don't
was
have
really
to
what was
that.
Driving this. I think the reality is that that's what the conclusion that America was craving. Nearly 60 million people were watching this game, and all they wanted was this unbelievably terrific young quarterback to just wipe the floor with the Belichick-Brady era, and they did not get to even see him on the field.
Mike? I mean,
he's exactly right. You know, there were so many people who just wanted to see the evil empire fall. And so there's a lot of I've heard from many people who are saying, I'm not going to watch the Super Bowl now because the Patriots are in it. So that's not what the league wanted. The league would not have conspired this to put the team that everybody's fatigued of in the Super Bowl. Pat Mahomes has been electric all year long. And that would have been great television to see these two young quarterbacks go at it. But, you know, it didn't happen. And D Ford, the defensive lineman who lined up in the neutral zone, he even said it. He said it was sloppy football. I've got to see where I'm lined up. It was my fault. I'll take it on the chest. You know, and it's unfortunate. But again, they had opportunities other times as well.
Yeah.
And the Patriots were just very methodical the way they marched down the field and scored. And I think if you go down the field that authoritatively and get a touchdown, and they did it running the ball, that's some attitude there where you're smashing into another man and you're putting that ball in the end zone.
Yeah.
You deserve that victory.
Well, Mike and Jason, stand by here. Let's just listen to the moment where the game-winning touchdown was scored at the AFC Championship game.
Second and goal. To Burkhead. Burkhead to the end zone. Hello, Super Bowl. New England is heading back again for the third straight year.
Good for the Pats, but my home station WBUR here is reporting that Super Bowl ticket prices went down, started going down as soon as New England won that AFC Championship game. This is On Point. We'll be right back.
Every day in America, 60 million packages are delivered. But we don't always know what's inside.
He bent down to pick the package up. That's when the device detonated.
Danger is everywhere, and no one is safe in Austin, Texas, as law enforcement hunts a serial bomber for 19 days. From Sony Music Entertainment, Campside Media, and Pegalo Pictures, this is Witnessed. 19 days. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts to binge all episodes or listen weekly wherever you get your podcasts.
This is On Point. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We're talking about reaction still days later to both the NFC Championship game and the AFC Championship game and how they determine who's going to Super Bowl 53. Jason Gay joins us today. He's sports columnist for The Wall Street Journal. Mike Jones is also with us. He's NFL columnist for USA Today Sports. Mike and Jason, the comments are coming in fast and furious. On Twitter here, Mr. Moshkovitz says, "The overtime rule is patently unfair. In no other sport can a team lose without ever touching the ball." Molly English Bowers says, "Here's a conspiracy theory. We were joking at work that the coin used to determine who got the ball in the AFC OT had two heads sides. That's how much people feel that officials favor the Patriots, most hated team in the league." Thanks, Molly. But Mike, I just want to check here for a second. Is there any discussion in the NFL following last Sunday about taking another look at how they handle overtime and how to bring overtime to a close?
No, that's not something that I think that they're going to investigate and look into, the competition committee. While the expansion of the replay challenges is one thing, I haven't gotten any sense that they will look into the overtime thing, because again, you've gotta draw a line somewhere. You would just go on and on and on if each team had the ball and then you score a touchdown, then you score a touchdown, then we move the ball back and we try again. You know, play some defense, get a stop, give your chance an opportunity to score a win on a field goal, just like the Rams did in their game.
All right. So let's go back to the callers.
Mike,
oh, yeah. Go ahead, Jason.
Can I just ask Mike
a
quick question? Is there any chance of the league appointing an independent commission to investigate whether or not a double-sided coin was used in the coin flip?
You know, I should check with my sources on that one there, because you never know with those Patriots.
I'm seeing another hashtag coming up. Coingate. Okay. Jim is calling from Omaha, Nebraska. Jim, you're on the air.
Hi, Meghna. I think that in any game, in any sport, if you want to assure yourself a victory, you shouldn't rely on one play or one call or one rule.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hear you. So that every other minute of the game counts too.
Correct.
Yeah. Jim, thank you so much for your call. Let's go to Robert, who's calling from New Orleans. Robert, you're on the air.
Yes, ma'am. Hello. I just wanted to point out the irony between last year's miracle in Minnesota, whereas the Saints' defensive backs went out of their way not to commit a foul, and then this year, whereas the Rams' defensive back admittedly went for it and created the foul to stop the play.
Oh, So Robert, thank you for your call. Jason Gay, tell us more about what Robert's talking about.
Yeah, I mean, the Vikings had this Hail Mary touchdown to beat the Saints in the playoffs last year, and he's right that the defensive back for the Saints did not initiate, any sort of before-the-ball contact making sure he didn't get flagged for a penalty, which would have extended the game. But that's what, you know, created the opportunity there. And that just, I mean, they replay it in Minnesota like it's like Christmas morning. It's still one of the most spectacular plays in NFL history. So, yeah, it is ironic that there's sort of a flip of interference versus no interference year to year.
Yeah. Well, you know, I want to stick with how people in New Orleans are still feeling today. And let's go to Christian Garrick. He's joining us now from New Orleans. He's co-host of Sports Talk with Bobby Hebert and Christian Garrick on WWL Radio in New Orleans. He's also the Saints sideline reporter as well. Christian, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
So how are you doing today?
I'm good. Everybody's kind of recovering from the no-call NOLA game that happened on Sunday. And you know, what's interesting is the fans, you know, usually time heals all wounds, right? Isn't that the old saying? But as time goes on here, the fan base down in New Orleans is getting angrier instead of getting over this, just because they haven't heard anything from Roger Goodell. There's no accountability from the league. We haven't seen or heard anything from the NFL commissioner. So fans are getting quite angry down here.
Well, to the point where I'm seeing that a New Orleans attorney has even filed a lawsuit against the NFL about this.
Yeah, I mean, I get it, but it's not going to do anything. It's just not. It's not going to go anywhere. It might make you feel a little bit better, but I think attorney, I mean, I think lawsuits, petitions, and parades, in this case, it's just silly. It's just silly. It's because no player is going to show up for a parade that they lost a game in the NFC Championship game. They don't want to be celebrated for that. No player is going to be around here. As far as petitions, what's the petition going to do? So you're going to boycott the Super Bowl, big deal. And then a lawsuit to the NFL, good luck. You're not. I mean, you can sue anybody in this country, but will it hold up in court? You know, it's not going to matter.
Yeah. So what is it that fans want to hear from Goodell then?
Yeah, I don't think they want to hear one thing specific other than, hey, there's going to be either an investigation, which there should be, into that officiating crew, or they want to see accountability, you know, with the league office or the league officiating head official and Al Riveron or that crew. I mean, at the very least, that crew or the members of that crew that missed that call, those two individuals, should be either suspended, fined, or fired. Depending on how the league feels how bad the missed call was. I mean, a youth football coach would have gotten that call right.
Right.
Not coach, but official. A youth football official would have gotten that call right.
So, Christian, sorry to jump in here, but I want to hear from Jason Gay. Jason, what do you think about that? That's what accountability might look like in this case.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's also the times that we're in. We want repercussions and we want them immediately. We want firings and suspensions and immediate action. I mean, that's just the nature of the beast. But these things, you know, even that will not give satisfaction to the fan base, I believe. This one's going to hurt for a long time. I mean, we don't have to go terribly far back in sports history to think of umpire calls or other referee calls that affected franchises' ability to win championships. St. Louis, they still talk about Don Denkinger in Game 6 of the 1985 World Series. It only took about 45 years to get over that one. So this is just part of the fabric of sports. I hate to sound so like, you know, I don't know what the word I'm looking for here is, but just this happens. This is part of why we love
not
this
like
stuff.
Not like this. That's the worst moment in NFL history. It's the worst moment in sports history. That is the worst non-call you'll ever see in any sport. Basketball, hockey, soccer, football, what have you. It doesn't just happen like this. It's not just I don't agree with that. It should not be. It should not be in a professional sports. When you're getting paid to do this, you cannot miss that call in that game, in that big.
Well,
of a
I would
game.
Challenge you on the idea that it's the worst moment in sports history, considering we've had like boxers die in the ring and so on, and you know the nature of having humans, the nature of sports and having human referees is that they're human. They will make mistakes, and calls are often interpretive. And I'm not arguing for a second that it wasn't an egregiously blown call, but the notion that somehow this is just beyond the pale of what could happen. This could happen, and this is the hazard.
Yeah, sure.
And until you get to a situation where you have
– It shouldn't happen.
It shouldn't happen. Yeah, I hear you there on that one, Christian. Hang on here for a second, Christian, because I want to go to Mackenzie, who's calling from Ames, Iowa. Mackenzie, you're on the air. What do you think about this debate we're having over officiating in that NFC game?
Hi, thanks so much for taking my call. I feel for Saints fans, and believe me, I was screaming at the TV during that no-call pass interference as well. But I do think it's unfortunate that refs are put in this situation where so often at the end of the game, it's a very close game, and they're cautious, overly cautious, and hesitant to make calls that could ultimately change the outcome of the game. Unfortunately, in this case, it was the wrong call.
Right. Mackenzie, thank you for your call. Christian, Garrick, what do you think about that? I mean, it was like in that last couple of minutes.
Yeah, I mean, she said they're hesitant, and I think she's kind of right. I mean, officials don't want to be a part of the game. That's unfortunately, unintentionally, I think they became the game with that no call. And most officials, you know, nobody's there to see the officials. Everybody's there to see the players on the field, okay? But it turned out to be, you know, the officials turned out to be the headline of that game. I just look at it and go, this is officials. These officials are they get together as a whole as officials one time a year in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the training? Where's the accountability? And then should there be full time officials in the NFL? These are part time officials. Aside from the white hats, these are part time officials that are making a pretty good living off of a part time job. So there should be some full time employees. And I think you can hold them accountable better. You know, one of the things that I think is interesting is if you look at the officials, most of them come from white-collar jobs. And what's the reason for that? Because I'm going down a trail here, and you guys will understand in a minute.
Okay.
Most of them are from white-collar jobs. They have, you know, they're dentists, they're lawyers, they're doctors, they're, name it, attorneys even. And that's because if you come from money, you're going to be less likely and less tempted to take money, to be on the take, in other words, to be bought.
Okay.
The NFL does that for a reason. I don't think that this was – there's so many out there that are spinning this conspiracy theory. I don't believe in that. I just don't. There's too much from top to bottom. From the top down, I don't believe that there's a conspiracy
right.
In the NFL. They've got way too much to lose, if they are exposed for a conspiracy.
Yeah.
However, it's not beyond – the possibility. All it takes is two people to conspire, right? Two people, that's it. So I don't know that there was a conspiracy here. I don't think that there was.
But I hear you saying that maybe you don't think there was, but maybe there's a possibility. But Christian Garrick, co-host of Sports Talk with Bobby Hebert and Christian Garrick on WWL Radio in New Orleans. Christian, thank you so much for joining us.
You bet. All right, bye-bye.
All right, so Mike Jones, let me turn back to you. I just have to say, I mean, I'm not sure I agree with Christian on the fact that that white-collar workers are any less susceptible to corruption than anyone else. I actually think that corruption knows no collar.
Exactly.
Everyone can be bought for a price, but what do you think about what Christian had to say?
I mean, I think he's still a little emotional, and I mean, yeah, I don't buy that. It happens so fast, and again, they are humans, and there are missed calls on both sides of the ball. There was not two people saying, okay, let's work together here to keep the Saints out of the Super Bowl right here. And again, the Saints had opportunities. They got the ball back. They didn't execute. It happened sometimes. Yes, the league can do things to be better, but nobody – those guys are out there working hard. They don't want to get fired from those jobs, whether they're full-time jobs or part-time jobs. They're trying to get these calls right. And to think that, okay, maybe they're conspiring together is just a little bit paranoid.
Yeah. Well, let's go to Frank, who's calling from La Crosse, Wisconsin. Frank, you're on the air.
Mm. Thanks for taking my call. The last guest brought up the issue of money, so I haven't heard to talk about the gambling and betting, fantasy football, millions of dollars spent on this, and to leave things up to a toss of a coin or a call. You know, anybody who's been watching football all year knows that officiating calls have been in question for just about every single game. The fact that the NFL doesn't do anything about it, I'm curious, you know, what's the sports betting line take on so much things turning on a non-call, a bad call, a targeting call that was part of that interference call, a flip of a coin, you know.
Yeah.
What's the money world say?
Well, Frank, thank you for your call. Jason, do you have a thought on that?
It's an excellent point, and I'm glad you brought it up, because not only is gambling very much a part of the fabric of the NFL, or all professional and a lot of collegiate sports, it's becoming increasingly illegal in the United States. We've seen numerous states, including across the river here in New Jersey, has legalized sports gambling. And yeah, you know, you have stakes now for many people which are beyond emotional, which are beyond regional. And anytime you have financial stakes, there's going to be even greater pressure to get things right. And I think that that will be part of the impetus for the NFL to resolve, or at least try to work towards some better situation where they can review plays. I'm curious to ask Mike, though, because let's face it, Mike's the real football reporter here. Yeah, how do you administer to some sort of review of interference? I know Canadian football has done this, but how do you prevent a situation from, say, there's a scoring play and then a coach says, hey, look, on the other side of the field, there was a bump on the defensive back. How do you not keep that kind of shenanigan from happening?
Well, I think the way you do it is still the coaches only get a certain amount of challenges. I'm not saying to extend or expand the amount of challenges they get, but I think that in those situations where it's egregious and it's on an impact of that play, if there's the person who's reviewing it in the booth, just like they when there's a fumble and they see something, they quickly alert the official, or maybe, you know, in the coaches have to be careful with their challenges, and they're not going to be throwing the challenge flag every single play. But if they have, you know, their two challenges in that half that they can use, or if the guy up in the booth who's watching this game, and then, you know, they announce stop the game because maybe a touchdown or a turnover didn't look right, and then they look at it, I think that's what could happen.
It would be on the ball, not something opposite, because
like you said before, there's holding and pushing and shoving every play, but it doesn't have an impact on each play.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Gotcha. We've got about a minute left here to go, and we still do have an actual Super Bowl coming up to look forward to on Sunday, February 3rd in Atlanta, the Patriots and the Rams. Mike, just in a couple of seconds, what are you most looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to seeing history here. We have the Patriots, who are back there for the ninth time. Tom Brady, Bill Belichick for a chance to get their sixth Super Bowl. But then on the other side, you have Sean McVay, who's the youngest head coach to coach in the Super Bowl, a young quarterback in Jared Goff. Either way this thing turns out, I know the majority of America will be rooting for the Rams, but either way, this is going to be a pretty memorable Super Bowl.
And Jason, your thoughts?
It's Darth Vader against Luke Skywalker. I mean, come on, let's face it. All of America wants Jared Goff marching down the field in the closing seconds.
And no pass interference call.
That's right.
Jason Gay, sports columnist for the Wall Street Journal, and our, we'll call you our football Jedi Knight for today. Jason, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And Mike Jones, NFL columnist for USA Today Sports. Mike, it was actually, you are the Jedi Knight of our conversation today. Mike, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
All right, folks, keep those comments coming. We're at onpointradio.org or Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is On Point.